false subject today. Keeping Christ's commandments. Keeping Christ's commandments. And Christ's commandments are not options. As I was doing this, my mind went back to the yesterdays. And you have to use what you know and where God done brought you from. I thought about what we used to call the wishbone offense. It was shaped just like the wishbone on a chicken's breast. Had a point out to the front and two to the side behind it. That's the way a wishbone is in a chicken, in the breast part. If you know how to cut it, it's there. Had a fullback and a right halfback and a left halfback. And a quarterback under the center. Wasn't the shotgun, it was under the center. The quarterback had an option. It's called the triple option. He would take the ball when he would get the ball here and just turn. And sometimes you would get your quarterback to turn and do this. And he would meet the fullback right here, and he would step with him. And it's called a ride. He would ride him all the way, then he'd pull it out and get it right here and just keep running. And at the meantime, that right halfback is coming this way. It's a triple option. The fullback was the first option. The quarterback is the second option. The right half is the third option. But with God, there is no option. It's a command. And when there is a command, you don't have anything else to do. You don't have a choice. It's not football. It's not the wishbone, nor the veer, where you have an option to do something else other than what it looks like you're doing. You don't have an option. There's not an option in the Bible. You have to keep the commands of God. And I'm looking at you, and a lot of you are military. When you were given an order, help me, Holy Ghost, you follow the order. You don't veer from it. You follow the order. I think Brother Dillon told us that in the veterans that day. You follow the order. And I've not been in there, but I've heard enough of you talk that you said the last order that you receive is the one that you follow. And sometimes you don't have but one. It seemed like to me, I don't know, y'all have to straighten me out. Seemed like to me the higher the commander, the least option you have are going away from what he or she said. Amen. You got to do what they, because they are responsible. And can I just tell you, the commander in chief is Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God. Keeping Christ's commandments. We're going to try to do this, and I don't know how it's going to come out, but the word to me is just like, it's just like chicken. It's hard to mess up chicken. It's hard to mess up chicken. You can burn it and it still tastes all right. But the word of God is in, if it's in you, it'll come out you. And it will be all right, because somewhere in between Genesis and Revelation, he said, my word will not go out and come back void. It will do what I sent it, God's word, to keep something, mean to preserve it, to fix it so it will last for some time. That's what Christ does for each one of us when we receive him as our Lord and Savior. But in order for him to do that to you, you have to keep his commandments. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. You can't keep them today and let them go tomorrow. Every day, 24/7, you have to keep the commandments of God. You just need to, because you are his child. Some of us are young enough to remember that when mama or daddy laid down a rule and you broke the rule, there was discipline in the house. You can call it a whipping, a whooping, a beat down, or whatever you want to call it, but it was there. Because you had broken the commandments, you had done wrong, and there was no time out. The only time out I received, I hate that I received it. And the statement was, you got one in soak. You didn't like for discipline or whooping to be in soak, because it got worse. It got worse. Amen. 3 points. Point number one. Keep your Bible open, because most of y'all don't know me by now. If I just give you one verse, I'm going to ramble. Point number one. The key to blessings. There is a key to being blessed. And you have to know where to find the key. You look at 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. Listen to what it says. It says, and hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandment, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. You just got to keep his word. If you keep my word, you're going to love me. We as believers must realize the prominence of Christ and Scripture. If we realize the promise of Christ and the Scripture, it gives us to keeping his commandments. We will learn to give it more prominence in our lives. Some of us don't value the commandments of God. You have to value them, and they have to be at a place of high respect for you if you are going to believe them. It will become one of the keys to true Bible study and Christian living. The person who studies his Bible will, with the determined purpose to searching out and obeying every commandment of God in Christ, is on the right track. It's good to keep the laws of man, But it's even more better to keep the laws of God, the commandments of God. If you keep them, you will especially learn two things. First, that you must wait for the teaching of the Holy Spirit to lead him into all of God's will. Some of us want to get in front of God and what he has for us to do. I ain't got time to wait. I need to do it now. That's why so many of us go back out into the world once we come to Christ. It's not that Christ haven't saved you. You just don't have time to wait on God. Somewhere in the word he said, I said, wait. Wait on the Lord. Wait. Told the disciples to go into Jerusalem and tarry there and wait. Some of us are old enough to remember when they had revival, they would put you on the mourner's bench and set you there and say, seek God. And you stayed there until you felt like God had touched your heart and that you were coming to God. You were willing to submit yourself to him. You didn't have to be in a hurry because God was not going anyplace. And that's the mistake that we make. We think God is just like we are. We want to bring him to our level. You cannot bring God to your level. You have to try to go to where he is. He's not a man. And we want to make him a man. Secondly, there's the joy of performing daily duties because they are the will of God. God won't save you or won't give you a commandment that won't help you to help somebody else. God tells us to do love ye one another and help other people to get to the place where you are. You have to want to keep God's commandments. Thank you, Lord. When you discover how all daily life is enriched, when we say, as Christ did in John chapter 10 and verse 18, listen to what he says. John chapter 10, verse 18. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father. See, God, the key to blessing is being obedient to the word of God. The word will become the light and the guide by where all steps are ordered. If you listen to the word and you get the word on the inside of you, the word will send you in the right direction. Might seem like you're going in the wrong direction, but if you're following the word of God, you will arrive where God needs you to be and at the time that he needs for you to be there. When we follow this word of God, our lives become a training school. We go to school in the school of life and the school of hard knocks. When you live by the commandments of God, God will take you to school and he will school you about his word. He tell you to love ye one another. If you don't love them, you might fake it for just a little while, but you can't fake it forever. You can fake it and fool the people of God, but you cannot fool God. So many times we want the people to think that we are keeping the commandments of God. You don't need to worry about the people. You need to have your mind stayed on God. If your mind is stayed on God, the key to the blessing is being obedient to the word. If you obey me, you will do just what I said, and won't make no difference what the world think about you. If you're obedient to the word of God, when you listen to God and you read and you study his word, God will take you some places that you wouldn't go yourself. When God does the driving, he knows where all the bumps are on the road. It seems like to me sometime he takes me on the bumpiest road that he can find. I can can find a road that has no bumps in it. But seem like every time he drives, I go by where trouble stays. I go by where lying people live. I go by where deceiving people are in positions to put some hurt on you. But God takes me by those people's house. And because he's driving, he does just like most women said a husband do when he's driving. He won't stop and ask me for directions. He just keep right on driving because he knows where he's going. I don't know, but he does. But if he were to ask me, I probably would send him on a street that had no bumps. I would bring him by the house of everybody that I know is saved, sanctified, and full of the Holy Ghost. I would take him by their house and have him to talk to them. But he does not ask me. I have to be obedient. I have to just sit there and let him take me by where I don't want to go, but where I need to go, because he knows. The key to blessing is being obedient to God. Listen, there's power when in the Word of God. When we read and we study the Word of God will put power on the inside of you. The Word of God will help you to be obedient to the Word of God. What it says, might not understand it, but God, if you said it, I ought to have enough faith and enough trust in you to believe that you would not lead me down a wrong path. God, I need you right now. Will you come by? But I didn't have time to go to Bible study last week. I didn't have time to go to mission, but right now, I need you, God. God won't say this, y'all. This baggage. Where were you when I needed you to go by Miss So-and-so's house who got three children and don't have any milk or any food in the house? And here you are, got an abundance in your checking account, but you won't go by. Oh, good God Almighty. You got to understand that God will take you where you do not want to go. I believe sometime that's why we won't make a sure enough commitment to God. We make a half-hearted. We do it well. We want to run an option. We don't want to run a command play. We want an option where I can do what I want to do. But the key to the blessing, to be blessed, is to be obedient to the Word of God. The keeping of the commandments will be the key to every spiritual blessing. If you want God to bless you, keep His Word. Live like His Word said live. May have to go through difficult times. May get lonely. Your telephone might not ring. Your doorbell might not ring. But if you stay obedient to God when everybody else have left you, God will be right there with you. Somebody said he's a good company keeper, and you can tell him anything and he will not verbalize it to anybody else. God's all right. Listen, when we make a decision, make a determined effort to understand what this life is full of. Obedience means the Lord at some of Christ's clearest command. Listen, he said, love one another. That wasn't an option. That wasn't a veer offense. That's just a straight dive right up the gut. Love ye one another. Didn't ask you if you like them. We said sometime, I like brother so-and-so. God didn't say for you to like one another. He said, love ye one another. That means you got to hide all the faults that are within them, especially if you see them and they turn you off just looking at you. That turns you off. But God said for you to love them. That's why sometimes you don't need to become friend with people. You need to just love them just right where they are. Don't have to know anything about them. But God said, love ye one another. other. We want to go by whether I like you or not. You ain't got to like me. I don't care if you don't like me, but you got to love me if you want to get to heaven. You ain't got nothing to do with me loving you. You might think you do, but you don't. I don't care who you are in here. You can't stop me from loving you. I'm gonna love you, and excuse my grammar, there ain't nothing you can do about it. Not a thing. I'm gonna love you. You can hate me and talk about me. I don't care, but I'm gonna love you. Because I refuse to let you decide that I'll miss a blessing or reward in heaven. I refuse to let you do that. Amen. So many church folks, you notice I didn't say Christians. Church folks, let other people make the decision for them. You won't make it for me. You will not make it for me because I have read the book. And the book says, love ye one another. And I do believe, y'all, that there's a difference between love and like. I can like a rattlesnake, but I'm not going to love that joker. I'm not going to pick him up when it's cold and put him in my coat so he can warm up. If I pick him up and put him in my coat, he's going to be dead, and I'm going to skin him and try to eat him or use to hide. So you see, but we have to love one another. And it's difficult to love people that you know are trying to kill you. I think it was the first thing he said on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's love, y'all. That's love. Here they are, have hung him on a cross, have driven nails through his hand and through his feet, pierced him in his side, and here he is hanging up here on a cross, dying, asking for forgiveness for them. That's love. Now, let me ask you a question. Have anybody done that to you? Then you ought to love everybody. Yeah, but Baggett, you don't know what. No, I sure don't. And don't want to know. I just know what Jesus said. And that's enough. He says for us to love one another. And then he told the disciples, you ought to wash one another's feet. I know. If I were to take off my shoes, get right here today, you would wash my feet. But some of you, I know some of you laughing, you wouldn't do it then. But now, but tomorrow, after I have had my feet in those tennis shoes for an hour and a half in the gym sweat. And I come, would you wash? Yeah. That's what he's saying. When it's difficult and you have to put yourself in a position, Jesus Christ made man. He created him. He said, let there be, and man was there, and he washed his feet. Most of us would have been just like Peter. We would have thought it was beneath the Lord to wash our feet. And now it's the other way around. We think it's beneath me to wash your feet. I'm studying a book that I'm going to try to teach sometime or other called A Leadership According to Jesus Christ. And it says in there, one of the major keys in there, it says that the church have put up the two tools that Jesus left for them to show leadership by his style. And that is a wash basin and a towel. They gave, Pastor Thomas gave you and Brother Archibald a towel when he ordained as a deacon, because a towel was a symbol of servanthood. serving other people, not being served yourself. He was telling them, you got to serve people. Don't wait for people to serve you. So many believers want other people. Okay, y'all already there. He said another command he gave, he said, you should do as I have done to you. He was telling them, I washed your feet. You need to wash others. In Jesus' day and time, to wash feet was the duty of a slave. And it was the lowest slave on the totem pole. Wasn't a house slave. Wasn't the upper echelon of the slavery. You do know slaves had a status, don't you? Had a rank. Uh-huh. Yeah. A field hand and a house slave was a long ways apart. This person had to be a field hand or somebody low on the totem pole because he had to wash other people's feet. And you do know that they didn't have enclosed shoes walking the dusty roads of Jerusalem. And it was hot a lot of the times. And all that dust and dirt. And sometimes they might not have had water to wash them last night and you kept walking today. And that dust crack up between your toes. Mm-hmm. Used to call it jam. Mm-hmm. And you gotta wash them. You have to wash them. And you can't change hands because these you only got one set. And then you have to accept the Christ-like love and humility as the law of the supernatural life you are to live. Listen, God will fix you so that you can do these things and it will not bother. When you are keeping the commands of God, when you are, the key to being blessed is being obedient to the word of God. If you're obedient, then God will bless you. When Jesus went to die. We think, I've been praying on this, and it's a good thing. Talk about the death of Christ. Christ, in being the Son of God, was being obedient to God. He died more than just to save you from sin. He died being obedient to God. God sent him to redeem man. And man could only be redeemed by a blood that was pure. Nobody else in the world had the blood but Jesus. And being obedient to God, he died being obedient to God. And by him being obedient to God, it saved me. Listen, by you being obedient to God, you can help somebody else come to Christ. You have to see your being obedient not for you, but for somebody else. And we look at ourselves and we want everything that happened to happen to me. No, you be obedient to the word of God so you can draw somebody else to God. There are people in this sanctuary watching somebody just to see how you live. And it's not all young children. Some of these grown, old, weave-wearing, gray-headed children are watching you. Watching you to see how you live. And listen, I might not know how I ought to live, but I know how you ought to live because you got an office in the church. Yeah, you have that. So you ought to live different from me until I get saved. I'm on my way. Jesus' death is more than just meeting my needs. If you go back and you read, especially the writings of John, you will find where Jesus constantly said to glorify my Father. to magnify my Father. Let me do the will of my Father. He constantly talks about doing the will of God. He died being obedient to God. Yes, in turn, it saved me. But he died because he had to be obedient to God. Brothers and sisters, and that's a term that we don't lack. Obedience. Especially if it's to somebody else. I want everybody to be obedient to me. Point number two is proving our love for him. First John chapter 2. Is that the one we read earlier? 3 and 5. Okay, that's not the right one. 1 John chapter 3, verse 21, 22, and 24. Beloved, if our heart condemns us not, then have we confidence towards God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he had given us. Listen, John is talking to them, and he's writing to the church and letting them know that to prove our love for him, there's some things that we have to do. If we love him, we're going to keep his commandments. It's just that simple. And I know I keep saying that over and over again, because that's a point that needs to be driven home. We need to know that we cannot get by without obeying the word of God. You have to obey it, not when you get ready, not when you think it's to your advantage. You need to obey the word at all times. Yes, you might forget something, but when you do, the Holy Spirit will bring it to your mind, and then if you sin, you can repent and ask for forgiveness. That's saying, God, I'm wrong. I have been wrong, and will you forgive me? Because I want you to forgive me, because I want to keep your commandment. It's easy when we submit ourselves, when we surrender the spirit man that's on the inside of us. This flesh, you will not conquer. You need to get in the spirit and stay there and let the spirit man work in your life. Because this flesh will always want to do what pleases this flesh. Most of us, about 12, 25. Your flesh. Yeah. Getting ready to go, and I got some more points. Yeah. Your flesh may be ready to go. And don't let this be next Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday. You better hurry up and get through by Super Bowl Sunday. What you gonna do on Super Bowl Sunday? Just like I'm doing today. The game come on, it comes on. You know, I'll see it all next week anyway. They're going to play it all back next week. And if I don't get home in time to watch the Super Bowl Monday, I'm not going to read the paper. I'll just wait and watch it on TV, because it's coming on. But God, you can't, if God is in the blessing business today, he's not going to postpone your blessing. You just done missed it. You need to be there. Okay, I'm gonna leave. We need to know that we really know the Lord. If you try to know God in and of yourself, you'll miss it. You'll miss it because you cannot know God in this flesh that you're in. You have to know the Spirit of God. You have to know that there, when a person gets saved, there's two of them. There is a spirit of Adam, the first Adam, and there's a spirit of the second Adam. The first spirit of the first Adam is going to stay in you all the time. But he does not have to be the dominant spirit within you. In biology, they have something called the dominant and the recessive genes. The dominant gene is a gene that takes over and rule over. Christ have to become the dominant gene. And I know, I don't know about anybody else, but I know about me. He is the dominant gene in my spirit. Because if he were not, I wouldn't do like I'm doing now. Because I have asked Christ to come into my life. I made myself available to receive him, and he was willing to come into my life and make a change in my life. We have to invite him in. If you don't invite him, he will not come. And I know some of you probably thinking, well, I've seen people come to revivals and get saved. Yeah, they had invited him in. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you get saved, you invite Christ in. And we look at what we see people do in the physical realm. God is not in this realm where you can see him. We cannot go to him. So what did he do? He came to us. We can't inhabit his world, but he inhabited ours in the spirit. Your spirit man need to become the dominant one in your life. That's when you will know that you love him. If you love him, you're going to do like he said. Well, Baggett, I don't know what he said. Bible study, Sunday school, mission meeting, studying your word. Then you get it on the inside of you. And it makes a difference. The word will change you. You cannot change the word. That's why you only have one gospel, one Christ, one Lord, because you can't change him. If man could change him, he would have been changed. Because some of us would have changed him since we've been in here today. Well, we can get out of here, though. And we make a law, you don't stay but an hour. After that hour, he leaves. No. We need to get the word into our spirit. And when we get this word on the inside of us, you cannot get too much of it. Nobody have ever overdosed on the Holy Ghost. But on crack, Shivers Regas, yeah, you can overdose on those. But on the Holy Spirit, it kills nobody. It kills a person in you, but it's the old man. The old man that used to do the things that you used to do. It kills that man. You know that he's dead because you live. If we are dead to sin, we no longer sin. That's why in some of us, the sin is not dead because we are still committing the sin. The sin is not dead. Anything that's dead does nothing. All right. Man in his physical world and material world expects to see God in that world. I stop by to tell you, you see him every day and you don't recognize him because he comes in different ways. Like the reflection of the sun that I see on the building. When you're saved, you need to see God in everything. Even the chair that you're in, You need to see God in that, because if God had not created whatever it was in those days when he was creating, it wouldn't be here today. We need to look for God. That's why with other believers, no matter how mean and how trifling they appear to be, you need to look for some God in them. You need to look for some God in them. And I'm gonna get myself in trouble right now. But I have a sister in here that I have to look for God in her. And she probably said the same thing about me. She have to look for God if there's any God in me. She said, because he's there. He's there, but you have to be looking for him. He's not like a roofer's thumb. If you've ever put shingles on a house and you ever hit your thumb one time, you're going to have to make an effort to keep it out of the way. God in people does not come out like that. Some of you, somebody probably have seen you today. They didn't know any God was in you because you didn't look like what they thought a godly person would look like. They walk by you, they speak, you. God, that's not what they visualize as a godly person. So we need to make sure that we're a good representative of Christ in our lives. You're going to prove that you love him. You got to take some stuff. You got to walk through some stuff. Jesus came to save man from perishing and give man abundant life. Man did not have life before Christ came, and we got to prove that we love him. We prove that we love him by doing just what he said. He said for us, and I'm saying it again, to love one another. If we love one another, that's how other men and women would know that we are children of God. And then point number three, we have to keep his commandments. And I know I'm harping on this pretty good because I want to get it home. And I a lot of times, and I said this before and I said it again, I think God presses me with what I need to do. And then I preach it to you because I need to get it in my life and you need to get it in yours. We have to keep his commandments. John chapter 14, verse 15 and 16. If you love me, keep my commandments. Listen to verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you, not just today, but forever. Jesus was very concerned about us loving him. He did not just say it one time and walk off and leave it alone. He kept saying it and he kept repeating it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And then he said, because you love me, I'm going to go to my Father. And I know this for a fact in my life. When Jesus came into my life, everything began to become topsy-turvy. Everything went haywire because nothing seemed to be right. And I constantly say this to myself, the way my life is now, it's not permanent. It's just waiting on something else to come and turn it upside down. But when God turns it upside down, it's right to the way that he needs for it to be. When we allow God to come into our life, he set things straight. He gets you to a place where you don't want to go, where you used to go. You don't want to say what you used to say. You just want to go somewhere and get by yourself and get your Bible and study your word. I'm happy when I'm by myself because somewhere I read that a good man or a good woman never traveled by themselves. I'm glad you asked, because as the world knows, a good man or a woman, they're saved, sanctified, and full of the Holy Ghost. And if Jesus is on the inside out of me. I never go anywhere by myself. I always got a company keeper, and his name is Jesus, and his name is the Holy Ghost, and his name is Lord God Almighty. And when they come and they abide with me, the four of us can go anywhere that we need to go, and the four of us can make any decision that we need to make. And God sent the Comforter because Jesus had to leave here. He said, if I don't leave, the Comforter can't come. And he sent a Comforter. The Holy Ghost is a Comforter, and the Greek word parakletos means come alongside to help somebody that's walking down this road. That's just what he does when trouble comes your way and you don't have a way out, you don't know where you're going to go, and you don't know what you're going to do. The Holy Ghost come alongside and said, go over here, talk to this person. You don't know why you're going to talk to that person, because you don't know them. But then when you have time to think about it, you'll get in your closet and you'll say, thank you, Lord, for sending me that way, because you brought me a mighty long ways. I thank you for the Comforter that you sent to help me to get where I needed to get. Then look at John chapter 14, verse 21. He said, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. And Jesus is again telling me to love him and to keep his commandments. He wanted to drive the point home. And this tells me that those old teachers that were trying to teach you your multiplication factors, they did a good job. They went by the Bible. They just kept repeating, one times one is two. Two times two is four. Miss Moselle Thomas had us to stand up and say them. And every time you miss one, she'd hit you in the hand with that ruler. And that would make you remember it the next time. But see, now God kept repeating, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's why it's important for you to study this word. If you study this word, you will find that you need to keep God's commandment. If you don't keep his commandments, what are you saying? That you don't love him? You might like him. You might think a lot of him. But if you love him, you're going to keep his commandments. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And to keep my commandments, you're going to do just like I said. And that's what gets in a lot of our craw. We don't want to do like nobody said, because I'm 21. I'm freeborn and grown. Nobody tells me what to do. I stop by to tell you, if you make it to heaven, somebody by the name of Jesus going to tell you what to do. You're going to love him. You might not want to admit that you love him, but you're going to love him. You got to love him. You got to keep his commandments. It's not an option. It's a direct dive straight up the gut. You got to love him. And some of us are difficult to love us because we are trifling. We are heathenistic. Although we're saved, we got heathen tendencies. We don't want to let them go. But I stop by to tell you, God will get you where all your heathen tendencies will leave. All you got to do is be staring at death. You see it coming, but you can't move. You're just sitting there and you're saying, God, if I'm coming now, thank you for receiving my life. And then it walks right by you in your closed eye, in your sanctified mind. You see yourself laying in a coffin, and then you wake up and you're not in a coffin. You said, thank you, Lord, that you blessed me. I'm going to do your will. When death stares us in the face, we're looking for God. We're looking for somebody to save us. I might not recognize you as God, but when death stares me in the face, I want something or somebody to save my soul. Yes, Lord, I'm going to love you. Just give me another chance so I can prove to you that I love you. He said, you're going to love, show you love me by how you treat your brothers and sisters. If you can't stand sister so-and-so in that church down the street, how you going to love God whom you haven't seen? That's what some of us want to do. We want to just love me, mine, and thine. You got to love theirs, theirs, and theirs. Then God will fix your heart so you can love anybody. Love, love. Somebody, who is that? Somebody sing a song. Say, what's love got to do with it? Love got everything to do with it, especially the agape love of God, where you have nothing to do with whether he loves you. If you love me, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, you'll do like I say. You'll do like I say. And that doesn't sound good sometimes. Because this flesh that I'm in want to rear up. Want to be 21, freeborn and grown. And I'm not a slave anymore. I beg to differ with you. You can't be Christ's if you're not a slave. More than that, you need to be a bond slave. You need to be like the slaves had to do in the yesterdays in the Bible. If a slave was free and he wanted to stay with the master would take him to the doorpost and take an anvil with a little spike and drive a hole in his ear and put an earring in it. That would tell everybody else that he's a slave and he's with this master. You know how the cowboys them used to brand them cows and sheep? That's what that was to the slave. It was a brand so they would know where he belonged. This meant that this man or woman wanted to stay and be under this master's authority. Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. If you were born again, sanctified and full of the Holy Ghost, you got a hole in your ear, and your ear is right here, called your heart. And Christ have the key. You have allowed him into your heart. And if he comes in, he'll sup with you. And when Christ sup with you, it's not an easy thing. You can't get him out because you have fixed yourself. You saying, I love you. I love you. Will you come into my life? And when you invite him in. I say this and I do this and don't y'all get mad with me and leave. When you come in, and I say this and we can't but so many of us do this, you have to make yourself inviting. And some of us don't do this for health reasons. But am I right long in here where you ought to stop? I would stop right here because I would be telling the person, the next person to come in, I want you to come be with me. Some people stop right here for health reasons because of their knees. And I think if I keep living, I'm going to have to be one of those people because my knees are bad, so I can stretch it out, especially this one. I've sat on this side so I can stretch this knee out. Now, y'all forget about that physical part that I said. Think about the spiritual part. You need to make yourself spiritual, inviting for other people to come to you so you can tell them about Jesus. You ought to want to tell somebody about Jesus because you are keeping his commandment. You are loving him. And before you can love anybody else, you got to love Jesus. And if you don't love Jesus, yourself either. If you love yourself and you study this Bible and you believe this Bible, you are going to love yourself. There's nobody that I love in this world more than me. Not even my wife. And she's crazy if she loved me more than she loved herself. We ought to love ourselves enough to give ourselves to Jesus Christ. And want everybody else to come that way. And a lot of us witness to people and you don't ever open your mouth to talk to them. They observe the way that you live. Your life will speak a whole lot louder than you ever will. And it has a greater volume than you will ever have. But you have to live this life. And if you do not love Christ, you won't care too much for yourself. You're faking. Fake love in Christ. Fake love in the church. Fake love in everybody else. Because you have to be real and truthful to yourself. Love the Lord and love one another. Keep the commandments of Christ. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. This is what Christ said. He left this with us. Love ye one another. Love ye one another. And if you love others, you will undoubtedly love yourself. That's it. We extend an invitation. Listen, if you don't know Jesus, this is your time. You stand. We extend an invitation for you to come to Christ. If you love him, you will come to him. And in order to come to Christ, you have to leave from where you are.